And amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, today to John chapter 10, verse 10. And I want to look at the first part of that verse. In John 10, 10, it says, the thief. We know the thief is the devil. God is not a thief. And why does he come? Well, he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So we do have an adversary. 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 points it out. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Well, we have decided many, many years ago that we are a group of maynots. He may come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but he may not kill us. He may not destroy us. And he may not stop us. He may not stop us. Nothing's going to stop this mighty moving force of the blood-bought church. Hallelujah. We have been purchased by blood. We have faith in his blood. We're cleansed by his blood. We're redeemed by his blood. Woo, glory to God. We overcome by his blood. And nothing's going to stop us. Nothing's going to hurt us, because nothing is under our feet. Jesus put that rot rat to naught, having destroyed the principalities and the powers. Amen? Thank God we're a part of the blood-bought church. Glory to God, we're a going concern. Amen. Thank God for it. So make sure that you plead the blood of Jesus every day. You know, the Bible says he'll keep his angels charge over you in all of your ways. So as you go your way, plead the blood of Jesus before you go, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So say with me, I'm a maynot. And then, of course, it says resist him steadfastly with your faith. Well, how do we resist the enemy? Well, we resist him with faith-filled words, and we resist him with faith-filled actions. So it talks about standing firm, standing fast. We must not assist the devil, we must resist the devil. And one way that we resist the devil is by casting down those thoughts that come to our soul. We resist those. We don't entertain those thoughts of the enemy. We cast them down. We put them back in their place. And their place is under your feet. Amen. If you've got a message for the devil, put it under your feet. Amen. Someone said that years ago. I like that. Rick Renner said of James 4:7, where he said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. This is his translation. Be unbending and unyielding in a way that he knows he's up against a serious contender or a serious fighter. If you will take this kind of stand, he will tuck his tail and run like a criminal who knows the day of prosecution is upon him. Once you start resisting him, he will flee from you as in stark terror. Amen. Amen. Then Jesus said, I am come. Why did Jesus come? We celebrate him coming to earth. Why did Jesus come? Jesus says, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. He did not come just to save us from hell. He did not come to introduce a philosophy or a morality. No, he came to give you life. And that word life in the Greek is zoe. It simply means the God kind of life. It's the God quality of life and the God quantity of life. We could say it this way, life as God has it. And so the Amplified says that the thief cometh only to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have and enjoy life. If you're not enjoying life, you're not doing it right. Get rid of those things that are bringing a lack of enjoyment out of your life, probably mostly fleshly things or frustrating things. Get rid of those things and start enjoying life. And one way you can start enjoying life is by declaring, I'm enjoying life. Maybe life hasn't been so good, but change your confession and declare, I am enjoying life. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to rejoice in it. Because he's given me another day to breathe. He's given us another day on planet Earth to make a big difference. Amen. That you might have and enjoy life. And have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. That word abundance means superabundant in quantity, superior in quality, and by implication, excessive. Amen. He came to give you the lavish kind of life. And so the abundant life is simply you and I experiencing the goodness of God and the grace of God in every facet of our lives. God is good. And he has prearranged for you and I to live a good life. Do you love him today? In Ephesians, the second chapter in the 10th verse, in the Amplified, just looking at the end of that verse, it's powerful. And it says, go on to the next screen if you would, that we may do those good works predestined beforehand. Now notice this, taking paths. Everyone say taking paths. Taking paths which he has prepared for you ahead of time. So those paths are already preordained that we should walk in them. Walk in them, living what kind of life? Living the good life. Three things. He's a good God. He's got good paths for you to have a good life. Proverbs says it like this, but the path of the just, and you are the just, simply means the path of those who are in right standing with God is as the shining light. On your path, there's not darkness. In our pathway, there is life and there is no death. Say it with me, in my pathway, there is life, and there is no death. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Glory to God. We believe that our paths are shining brighter and brighter. Amen? We're not burning out, we're burning on. I mentioned about retirement a little early. I got to thinking, well, I'm not going to retire anyway. Glory to God. It's not about retirement. It's about refirement. Amen. You don't have to quit just because you turn a certain age. God will always have something for you to do. He will always have someone for you to pray for. He will always have someone for you to bless. So don't you give up. Don't you curl up in an attitude, well, God's done with me. No. He that has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. He will finish it. He will perform it until you're ready to go home. Amen. So eternal life then is the present possession of every born-again believer. I love this statement. The crowning achievement of the plan of redemption was for man to receive the gift of eternal life. Amen. The gift of eternal life. Now, you and I have been instructed by the Lord a very, very, a very, very important instruction that we need to take heed to. Because just because we have life does not mean that we're participating in all that life is available to us. Amen? There's a lot of things out there that will try to talk you out of life. There's death talk out there. There's lack talk out there. There's depressed talk out there. But I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul addressed something very important to us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. And I want to remind you before we look at this that Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And Timothy was born again. So this is not talking about sinners here. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 12, he said, fight, what kind of fight? Fight the good fight of faith. But here's what I want to center in on for a little while this morning. Lay hold on eternal life. Say it with me, lay hold on eternal life. Paul's not telling Timothy to pray the prayer of salvation again. He's telling him to actively take hold of what already belongs to him. And I believe this, that God wants us to lay hold of this eternal life that he came to give us. Amen. Now, the Greek word for lay hold is epilambanoumai. That's not exactly pronounced, but it's pretty good. When literally what it means this, to take hold of forcibly. It means to seize. It means to grasp firmly. It also means to take possession of, to actively lay claim to. It means to hold it so it cannot be taken away. That reminds me of hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. Amen. So taking hold. Don't just believe that eternal life exists. Seize it. Take possession of it. Live from it. I like that. Live from this place, laying hold on eternal life. Laying hold, seizing it, grabbing it, refusing to let it go. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his life. I've got his nature. I've got his ability on the inside of me. And I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to continue to hold fast to the profession of my faith. I'm going to continue to believe that this life that is on the inside of me is going to show up on the outside of me. It's going to affect my body. It's going to affect my mind. It's going to make me quick and bright and sharp and even better looking than I already am. I believe the life of God is going to make every one of you rich. That you would have a full supply of grace, a full supply of joy, a full supply of strength, glory to God, a full supply of divine health in your body. It is the will of God. But it's something we need to lay hold of. Lay hold of. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Somebody says, well, I've been hit by a circumstance. Well, welcome to the club. We all have situations. We all have circumstances that we are presently going through. But we serve a God of the breakthrough. We serve the God of the breakthrough. We serve the God who will take us through and bring us to the other side. We serve a God that will cause us to go through the burning fiery furnace and enable us to come out of the burning fire furnace without the smell of smoke. Lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of it. Remember that. I believe the Spirit of God's going to get a hold of you this week. When something comes up, you're not going to lay hold of that doubt.
That's right.
You're not going to hold on to that depression. You're going to lay hold of eternal life. For in him was life. And you are in him. In him was life. And the life was the light. It was the development of man. Woo, glory to God. In him was life. John 1:4. Let's look at that. John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was what? Was the light of men. What does that word light mean? Well, one meaning for the word light is this, that in him was life, and the life was the development of man. This life on the inside will develop you. This life on the inside of you will train you. It will literally enable you to be lit up by the life of God. Listen, I've seen people's personalities change when the life of God came into their spirit. I've seen people's minds get quickened. It happened to me. When I was a senior in high school, my first report card was 4 F's and a D minus. And I got my D minus in religion. I was making progress, Nance. Now, I wasn't trying. I was showing up. I was not, you know, fulfilling everything that I needed to do, obviously. But, you know, once I got born again, God quickened my mind. I mean, he made me sharp. And he'll make you sharp, too. He'll give you insight. He'll give you concepts. He'll quicken your mind. Amen. I love that, don't you? Glory to God. So walk in the light of life. Walk in the light of this development that He has made available to you. Amen? The life of God enlightens my intellect and it enhances my personality. It is amazing what the life of God will do. It's amazing. Brother Hagin said in his book called Zoe, and I highly recommend that book. It's just simply Zoe, Z-O-E, by Brother Kenneth Hagin. Here's one of the quotes from his book. He said this, "There is a certain light that emanates from the face of a person who has the Zoe life of God in them." And I'll say this, life is what puts a sparkle in your eye. Life is what puts pep in your step. Amen? Life is what puts joy in your voice. If anyone ought to have a pep in their step, it ought to be a born-again believer. If anyone ought to have a sparkle in their eye, glory to God, it ought to be a blood-bought believer. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. So I'm going to lay hold of this life. And it's going to enable you and I to fight the good fight of faith. So, again, Dad Hagin said this, when God's nature invades your spirit, your conduct, your habits, and even your speech can be corrected and can be changed. We're going to camp out on that for a moment. Your conduct. Amen? Now, I know that baby Christians, you know, sometimes they falter and fail and they draw back and so forth. But, you know, once you grow up a little bit, your conduct ought to be changed. Your manner of life ought to be changed. Now, we're not talking about getting into religious legalism. A lot of people like to point their fingers at younger Christians and other Christians and says, you know what, you ought not to do that. You shouldn't do that. And they even take it to a point, you can't do this. You can't do that. Well, I understand that. But you know what happened to me? And maybe you can testify of the same thing. The want to is gone. I just don't want to anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm doing all the drugs I want to. I'm doing all the cussing I want to. You know why? I just don't want to. All I want now is I want more of Him. Yes. I just want more of His presence. Yes. More of His goodness and more of His favor. Yes. And that is in the life of God. Yes. So this Zoe on the inside of you, it'll change you. It'll change you. Give Him the opportunity to change you. Give Him the opportunity to cause your habits, your conduct to be changed. It'll change the way that you think. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." By what? By the renewing of your mind. You can be transformed. You can be changed as you renew your mind. What does renew your mind mean? Renewing your mind simply means find out what God's Word says. Find out what God's Word says and see yourself not according to the flesh. See yourself not according to what you used to be and what you used to do and how you used to think, but see yourself according to the Word of God. That's mind renewal. And how many of you can testify this morning that mind renewal takes some time? Mind renewal takes some diligence. Mind renewal takes some discipline. And it's not like we ever arrive. Amen. We are in a constant flow of getting our minds renewed. We are in a constant flow of reading, applying, and testifying to what God says and who God says we are. Amen. So this Zoe on the inside of you, it'll change the way that you think. You'll think differently. You'll become spiritually minded rather than carnally minded. You see, the carnal mind brings death, does it not? What is a carnal mind? A carnal mind is a mind according to the flesh, according to the five physical senses. A carnal mind is about me, myself, and I, and no one else. And that always brings death. But a spiritually minded person brings life and peace into our lives.
Amen.
What does it mean to be spiritually minded? That means you are, your mind is so renewed that it gets down in your spirit and it brings life and it brings peace into your lives. A spiritual mind is a renewed mind. A renewed mind. What that does is it replaces anxiety with peace. It replaces confusion with clarity. And it also replaces despair with hope. When you got a renewed mind, you're not going to be talking about how bad things are. Now, I know things aren't good in this world. But I remind you, we're not of this world. I think I need to preach a little bit better on that. I know things are not going great in this world, but we are not of this world. You and I are from another world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And our citizenship in heaven has bills and rights. We have bills and rights according to the covenant of God. And we do not have to live according to the dictates of what's going on in this world. Now in the world, we're going to have some trouble. But we don't have to be moved by the trouble. I like what Creflo A. Dollar said many years ago. When trouble comes, you need to rise up and trouble the troublemaker. Trouble the troublemaker. And what troubles him is when you know who you are in Christ. What troubles him is when you stand up. And you don't put up with what he's trying to put on you. A renewed mind puts on the new man. Which is renewed, hallelujah, in the image and likeness of Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. So in the world. And if you feed on the world too much, it'll bring you down. I don't care what outlet it is. I don't care if it's CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, MSNBC. I don't care. After a while, that stuff gets really old. You do not want to sit there and meditate on how bad things are. You want to look into the law of liberty and look and see how good things are and how good God is and how he's able to turn your situation around. Glory to God. Say with me, my God is good. And he's good all the time. He told us to be a good cheer. He says, I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power. And it's not going to hurt you and it's not going to harm you. If you will not feed on the world system and you'll get into the Word of God system and live your life in the kingdom system, you will have a harvest of blessing. You'll have a harvest of favor. You'll have a harvest of joy. You can be happy in Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It'll change the way you think. Whew, glory to God. My mind was so gone. My mind was so blown. They said, yeah, go ahead and take this and take that. It'll expand your mind. That's what they said about LSD and mescaline and all that stuff. Talk about mind. No, it's mind destruction. My mind was blown. My mind was gone from drugs. Years and years of drug usage. Every kind of drug you can think of. Ended up in a treatment center addicted to heroin. My mind was gone. When I got up one night in the middle of the night and I looked in the mirror, I didn't see me looking at myself in the mirror. I saw a demon. I was not only demon oppressed, but very possibly demon possessed. My mind was gone. I couldn't hold a straight thought very long. But oh, thank God. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Woo. Ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. There came a preacher out of East Texas and started a Bible college called Rhema Bible Training Center. There came a man of God out of that first graduating school by the name of Jim Caseman. He gave me the word and I took the word of God like a dog takes a bone. Hallelujah. The devil couldn't snatch it away from me. And I'm proud to announce to you today that I have the mind of Christ. And I have a sound mind.
Yes.
If it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been for His life, I would not be here today.
All right.
That's why Jesus came. He came to restore souls. He came to bring to life people that were in the valley of the shadow of death. And I can look across this room and I can see person after person whom God has done some great things in their lives. If you can say God's done great things in my life, lift up your hands and shout. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came so we could lift our hands in the sanctuary in freedom and exult in the God of our salvation. This life will affect the way you think. It will affect the way that you think. So lay hold of it. Amen? This life on the inside of you will impact and affect the way that you talk. When eternal life, Zoe, gets in you and His Word gets in you, it'll get in your mouth. And when it gets in your mouth, it'll get in your life. And when it gets in your life, it'll change your life completely. Because Zoe changes negative talk to faith-filled talk. Instead of saying, I feel so frustrated. I feel so overwhelmed. I felt that way recently, but I realized that came from the devil. So instead of saying, I feel so overwhelmed, how about this? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. This life on the inside of you will change fear talk into authority talk. Instead of saying what your flesh wants to say, instead of saying, I hope things don't get worse, with the Zoe kind of life on the inside of you, you say, no, I have authority in Christ. Things are turning for my good. Somebody says, well, I got a bad report from the doctor. Yes, you may have gotten a bad report from the doctor, but the good report is better than the bad report. Amen. Now, I'm not saying, you know, throw your meds away. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm not saying that at all. But we've got a good report. So instead of believing that things are going to get worse, how about this? Praise the Lord. I thank God that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Not afraid that this is going to take me out. Jesus Christ already lifted me up. This life on the inside of you, it will turn lack talk into abundance talk. We never have enough. We're never going to make it. You'll never make it. You'll never have enough talking like that. You need to get your mouth washed out with some Holy Ghost soap. The Bible says, let no foul or polluting language ever come out of your mouth. Doubt, unbelief, and fear is polluted talk. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Nothing coming out of your mouth. Let the Holy Ghost work on the inside of you. Let the Zoe kind of life lift you up above that. Amen. So instead of saying, we'll never have enough, how about this? With Zoe, the Lord is my shepherd, He's more than enough. He is El Shaddai. He's the God of more than enough. Amen. We'll never, say it with me, we'll never run out in this church. We will never run out.
We will never run out.
Now point to yourself and say, I will never run out. We'll not just have enough. I will just not have enough, but we will, and I will, we will have more than enough. Come on, can you shout about that? Glory to God. More than enough. Hallelujah. And here's another thing that Zoe changes. Zoe changes small talk into enlarged talk. We did a series on being enlarged. Instead of saying, well, you know, I just want to survive. I just want to, you know, hide in a cave till Jesus comes back. He's not coming back after cave dwellers. He's coming back after a glorious church. He's coming back after a church that is about their Father's business. Amen? We're part of the glorious church. Yeah, there's days we feel like we're just barely surviving. But we don't feel like, we don't live by feel like. Instead of saying, well, I'm just barely surviving, how about this? Zoe would say, I'm flourishing. I'm expanding. And I am increasing. Hallelujah. Change the way you think. Change the way you talk. Change the way you see yourself. And it'll change the way you see others. This Zoe kind of life on the inside of you, it'll cause the love of God to rise up. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. That life on the inside of us will develop us in our love walk toward one another. It'll develop us in our love walk toward people that we don't even know. It'll develop us in our love walk for those people that cut us off on the freeway and give us that unholy sign. I didn't mean to paint that picture, sorry. Let me reverse that. The love of God, the life of God is on the inside of you. It gives us the capacity and the capability to see people the way that God sees them. Whenever I feel like, oh man, look at that person, I look back and I think, look what the Lord has done for me. And if He's done it for me, He will do it for them. God's no respecter of persons. How many know, brothers and sisters, we need to learn to get along. No matter what we believe or the way we believe, we just need to love one another. We need not have any walls of partition set up that would separate us. Nothing will ever separate us if we walk in the life of God, if we walk in the love of God, and we walk in the goodness of God. And everyone said a loud amen to that. Amen. Glory to God. Are you all still good? Yes. And Zoe affects our bodies. Yes. You got to talk to your body.
Yes.
How many of you know your body talks to you?
Yes.
And some of the sounds aren't very holy. Your body will talk to you. It'll talk to you. Boy, we better reverse that. Thank God. Thank God. When your body talks to you, you talk to your body. See, your body was made by the Lord. And when you purpose in your heart that your body is going to be for the Lord, then He will do something in your body to enable you to fulfill your days here on earth. But if you're just going to go out and do your own thing, you know, if you're just going to live for yourself and you're just not going to do anything with your body, you're not going to speak the word over your body, well, then you're not in a good position. Talk to your body. Say it with me right now. I call my body healed. I call my body strong.
I call my body
well.
I call every organ,
every tissue of my body functioning in the perfection to which God created to function. And I forbid any malfunction in this body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My kidneys are healed. My liver is healed. My pancreas is healed. My mind is clear. I'm living above fear. I'm walking by the Word of God. I'm living in the life of God. You see, in Him was life. His life is in you. And His life on the inside of you will quicken your mortal flesh. I think we ought to pray this. I think we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Pray this with me. Lord God, I offer my body as a living sacrifice unto You. Your will being done. In and through my life. is the most important thing in my life. So I present my body to you. Thank you for quickening it. Thank you for strengthening it. Thank you for fixing it. Thank you for enabling all of us to finish our course with health, with strength, and with joy. Say it with me, I believe. I receive that right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. It's working. It's working right now. It's working in me. The life of God's working in you. It's working in you right now. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. His Word is working in you. Hallelujah. You see, in Him was life. In you is life. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you two ways, life and death, blessing and cursing. Now I'm counting on you to choose life. It's a daily choice that we make. I'm going to choose life today. I'm going to choose to think. I'm going to choose to act. I'm going to choose to live in the life of God on the inside of me. It's a choice. Think about this. Why did Jesus come? Well, He came to give us life, but He was praying and hoping that we would choose life. Choose life. How do we choose life? Remember, Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So as you choose the word, you're choosing life. In closing, I think. Y'all still hooked? Yeah. Y'all still here? Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. I like this phrase. When you get this new life, you get the joy life. Yeah. You get the peace life. Yeah. You get the healing life. Right. You get the prosperity life. Yeah. You get the God kind of life. Yeah. This life has lifting power. Go like this with me and say this with me. This life has lifting power that frees me from the control of sin and death by His lifting power. The last scripture we want to look at and talk about just for a few minutes is found in the book of Romans. And I want you to notice that with me. Romans chapter 8. And notice with me verse 2, Romans the 8th chapter and the 2nd verse. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. This is our dessert right here. Romans 8, 2. Read it with me. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's read it one more time together. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's two laws. There's life, there's death, there's blessing, there's cursing. Now in the world of aeronautics, we understand this, that in order for the jet to get off the ground, something needs to supersede the law of gravity. The law of gravity is there. But there is a higher law. And it is called the law of lift. And it is called the law of thrust. Now understand this, that the law of lift does not cancel gravity. What it does, it overpowers it through its thrust and lifts it to a higher place and a higher force. When that jet takes off, the law of lift better be in operation. The law of thrust better be in operation. And it takes us up from the law of gravity. It just operates at a higher force. And His life in you supersedes the law of sin and death. with all of its forms. Here's what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus does. It doesn't remove pressure. It raises you up above it. How many of you know, how many of you have been up in a jet before and just wish you're not going to have turbulence that day? Anybody ever experienced turbulence in a jet? When I experience turbulence, I go, shaka ba 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 ha shaka la ba ha ta. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. Turbulence. But how many of you know we're still here? I said, how many of you know we're still here? Yeah, there was turbulence. In life, there is turbulence. It's going to come against you. But the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will keep you. It'll hold you up and it'll bring you to your wealthy place. Come on, somebody. Woo! You may feel the turbulence. You may feel the temptation. You may feel the pressure. You may feel the fear. You may feel the weakness, but it no longer dominates you. Why is that? Because you and I have been lifted up by His powerful resurrection life and His power, resurrection power. Amen? Amen. Did you get anything today? Amen. Let's all stand up and thank God for His word. Thank God for His word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Him was life. This word's going to stick to your ribs all week long.
Yeah.
I'm choosing life tomorrow. I'm choosing life in the morning. I'm choosing life at noon. I'm choosing life all day long. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.